we really only have two options. The first one, and you'll all understand this, is that we can worry. The Greek word for worry means to divide the mind. Worry literally splits us down the middle. Our mental focus can quickly become one of fear or anger, and that becomes the whole basis of how we think. Our viewpoint can often become very negative and problematic. We think in terms of what? Worst-case scenarios. I was talking not too long ago with a lady who was a trauma nurse for all of her career, and she told me that she was trained when a patient came into the hospital to right away look for worst-case scenarios. Of course, that doesn't make it easy in her life because she was actually trained to look for worst-case scenarios. So as we worry and our minds are divided down the middle, it's obvious that it doesn't take long for us to feel exhausted, totally, whether physically or emotionally or spiritually or mentally, we're done. And I think Paul, one of the greatest speakers and writers of our day, of his day, and really for our day, I mean, he cut the cake when he was talking to the church at Philippi, when he said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything." By what? By worry? No. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In the instant that we're hit with issues where we could be caused anxiety or situations of stress where we could be immediately go to worry, right away, what does Paul say? You've got to immediately, with prayer and supplication. So prayer then takes into account that I'm changing how I'm thinking and my eyes are, I'm now focused on prayer, and with thanksgiving, I'm letting my request be made known to God. But for believers, the second option is what we need to be choosing every day. Because as always, it focuses, as Paul said, on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And we've talked about that in weeks past out of Hebrews chapter 12. And what's interesting is when we look at scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament often correlate so closely that it's helpful to look at how even the Old Testament blesses us as Christ followers. And I think what's interesting is that when we talk about Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, David is a beautiful example of how we need to be focused on God. Of course, he didn't have Jesus at the time, but he taught us in the midst of life and its problems how he was turning to God. And, you know, in 6,000 years, problems haven't changed. The people may have changed who affect us. The events may have changed. But the issues of life and the problems of life don't change. And so this is what he taught. And, you know, I think we need to acknowledge that David had tremendous insight into human life, human character, and events and stresses. And so in Psalm 27, and I would encourage you to read the whole psalm this week, but in Psalm 27 in verse 3, he says, "Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear." My brain won't worry. I won't fret or be anxious about anything. Even if war was to rise against me, I will yet be confident. And the reason we see in verse 1 of chapter 27, because the Lord is my light and he is my salvation, and I then will fear no one. Whom shall I fear? Because the Lord is the stronghold of my life. David says, I've made him my stronghold. And then if I've made him my focus and my stronghold, of whom shall I be afraid? Now, what I want to point out to you is David obviously had these issues resolved with God as his stronghold long before the problems came. I don't think we can just go along merrily on our way and then problems say, oh, you know what, I'm going to talk to God now. I think we have to develop a rapport and a relationship with God in such a way that no matter what affects us, he's our light. He's our salvation. We already know that before the problems. And I think of King Jehoshaphat. You might remember we talked a number of weeks ago about him. Remember when the armies surrounded his nation. He was just trying to be the king of Israel. And he said in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 2, he said, you know, Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Why? Because he had already taught his people, and he himself had his eyes on God long before the armies came. And David says the same thing. Though the armies encamp against me, I will not fear. And then what's interesting is you want to see David's faith and his level of faith. Look at verse 5 of chapter 27. For God will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that God will speak and work and help us in whatever way we need it to be done. He may bring songs to us in our mind. He may bring scriptures to us. He may bring other godly people to talk to us. He may compel us to feel need to pray and then speak to us in those prayers. He may just put us in a quiet place where we're not being confounded by situations or people. Whatever he chooses to do will be his shelter, will be his cover, and he will put us high upon a rock. And what I find very often is God gives us a perspective bigger than our problem, because I do believe that God works in the short term, the long term, the little picture, and in the big picture. David was able to see far beyond his enemies who were right in his face. And so in verse 6, he says, and now my head shall be lifted up, because it's lifted up above my enemies. I'm not looking to my enemies. It's like Paul said in Hebrews, we're not looking at our enemies. We're looking away to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I will look above my enemies. And did they all disappear? No, they're still all around me. That's what David said. My enemies are I'm looking up to God, but my enemies are still there. Sometimes I think Christians think, well, if I just pray, then everything will disappear and we'll all live happily ever after. That sounds like last week's sermon. But no, the reality of life is the issues don't necessarily go. We are still sitting in the waiting room while our spouse is going through surgery. We are still waiting to see what's going to happen with that adoption that we have been waiting years and years to happen. I mean, the reality of things around us may not change, but is God lifting up our heads? Yes, if we let him. I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I'm going to yell. I'm going to thank God out loud. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Sometimes it's really good for us to sing out loud. It's like I shared with you last week. My dad was really stressed. A merry heart does good like a medicine. And sometimes we have to really praise the Lord, and we have to do it out loud. I never could really understand Paul. Remember after the day when he literally got everything beaten out of him, and he's chained in the jail, and he's singing, and he's praising the Lord, and the other people in the jail are listening to him. And I'm starting to kind of get a little glimpse of what he did. You know, I can just see Paul praising the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. His body had been bashed. It was bleeding. It was broken. And yet, like David, he was going, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to make melody to the Lord. Now, the other thing that David brings out, which I think is so fundamentally important in this idea of focus on the Lord versus worry, and he says this in an Old Testament context, but in verse 8, he says, God, you have said, seek my face, and my heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. You see, in the choices we're making every day, if we choose to focus on the worry and have the anxiety and the upset and the physical draining of life, God's not going to say, now listen, smarten up and seek my face. He's not going to force us. He's given us a free will. If we don't want to seek his face, he's not going to make us. But he's saying, seek my face, because when you seek my face, what? The things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of my glory and grace. Now, we can have situations where we're not sure where God is. And I don't know about you, but many times I've said, oh, Lord, you know, where are you? I mean, I know he lives in us and I know he's with us, but sometimes we just sense, where is he? And David brings this point out in verse 9 of chapter 27 of Psalm. He said, you know, don't hide your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. And, oh, you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. So he was having concerns. He was having doubts. And it wasn't the fact that God was saying, well, you know, David, you haven't been a very good boy today. So you know what? I'm not paying attention to you. That's never in Scripture inferred that God ever doesn't hear even our faintest prayer. And he also says he never leaves us nor forsakes us, even if we're being silly. And in this psalm, it's obvious David is at his breaking point. And so for the rest of this psalm, and as you read it this week, you'll see what I'm saying. But by the time he gets to the end of the psalm, he comes to the conclusion, you know, I'm done, but I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So even though everything around me looks terrible, even to the point that I could die, I'm going to believe as I look to God and as he's lifting up my head that I'm still going to be in the land of the living. So as you head into this week, recognize like David, there's all kinds of things coming into our lives. And some of the things we don't like. The buttermilk's coming in. The lard's coming in. The raw white flour's being thrown into the mix. And Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this and why do I have to do this? And, you know, I remember when I was learning piano lessons. And one of the things I hated the absolute most was practicing. And so I'd get down to the piano in the family room and I'd sit there. And all of a sudden, I'd hear, and it was my mother up in the kitchen, and she was making supper, and she was hitting the floor, reminding me it was time to practice. So I would do my A-flat scale, and I would be usually so frustrated. But you know, all those years of practicing, now, I admire Donna, because I can't play like Donna, and I don't want to ever have to play in front of people on the piano again. But what it taught me was the reality of perseverance and finishing a job. And then, of course, I got my grade 8 piano and my grade 2 theory when I was in grade 13. And I accomplished the task. Now, at that time, scales were like the worst thing in the world. It was like, I would rather be out playing road hockey, anything else but this. And so in your life, you may be saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm going, I'd rather be doing something else, but here you're throwing all this stuff. I want you to realize that he's mixing everything together for his holy and magnificent purposes. Everything that we're going through, they're not random. They may not seem very exciting, and they may not seem very pleasant at the moment. But here's something else to keep in mind as God works in our lives and as we draw closer to him. It's not simply about us. Because a lot of the life lessons that I have learned and the Lord has taught me is so that I can then reach other people. So I have a greater understanding of what they're going through. I have patience when normally I would want to write them off as just being flippant or childish or whatever. The reality is all of these things that God is working out, he's making biscuits in such a way that we're even a blessing to others. And Paul says this in his second letter to the Corinthian church. He says, God, who comforts us in all our affliction, is doing it so what? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so sometimes in the midst of all you're going through, you need to remind yourself, Lord, you're using this for bigger purposes than even my life. Lord, may this all work out that I might be indeed a blessing and a help to others. I don't like what I'm going through. And so as you and I this week, as we're looking away to Jesus, remember that nothing in this world surprises him. Nothing in this world overwhelms him. Nothing in this world is too hard for him. And remember, nothing defeats him. Now, we can call out and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on. The enemies are all around me. I feel overwhelmed. But nothing defeats him. And so we will stand before him. And since God is in us, we've talked about that the last couple of weeks, then we are what? We are more than conquerors. And I do think it starts in our minds with our self-talk. We're more than conquerors with worry and fretting and everything else. So when those things happen, we know what to do with them. We give them to the Lord. And we're going to gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. So that's Romans 8 and verse 37. And so as this week unfolds, remember, you've got two choices. You could either worry and fret and be anxious and just be all stirred up and be exhausted in every sense of the word, or you can see that everything that's being poured into your life or the Lord has allowed is part of what he is mixing for our good. He's making biscuits. And if you look and you ever do a study on a lot of the Old Testament leaders, Jeremiah, Isaiah, I've been reading through Amos and Hosea. These men saw this overall picture. God was trying to work with the Israelites. He was trying to get individuals to see what a great God he was. And so Jeremiah, like David, understood what David was trying to express in his day. And I think we have a perfect example in conclusion this morning from Lamentations chapter 3. And Jeremiah says, Lord, remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. Now remember, Jeremiah was a godly man. What was he going through? Hard stuff. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. I'm almost depressed with, I'm so weighted with it. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are what? New every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You know, I'm reminded of a lady by the name of Elizabeth McNeil. And in 1974, she wrote the following little song. And I'd like to just conclude this service, this part of the service with you now as I sing it for you. And it's called The Steadfast Love of the Lord Never Ceases. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Father, I want to pray for this family today, wherever they are, stretched all over this globe. And Lord, all of us every day are making a choice between two things. We're either going to look away to you, or we're going to let worry just literally encompass every aspect of our being. And Father, it is my prayer that even words from David, which were uttered so many years ago, which are so timeless, words of Jeremiah, the words of Paul to the church at Philippi and to the church at Corinth, all ring a consistent pattern. That we allow you, O Lord, to work in our lives and mold us and make us. The events of our lives that are being poured in and they are allowed, sometimes we don't like or we don't appreciate. But Lord, as that farmer prayed at that men's breakfast a number of months ago, Lord, you make great biscuits. And that is what we trust this day. And so as our family moves forward into this new week, Lord, we trust that you are working in ways that are far beyond our way of thinking or understanding, but our trust and our hope is in you, and so we hold our heads high, because our God, you are the rock of our salvation. We thank you this day in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. Wherever you are this morning, I just want to welcome you, and we're going to have an exciting time together. The only announcement I have is that we have now started some midweek groups, and so Thursday night, you're all invited to join us out on the patio at 7 o'clock. Bring your lawn chair and your Bible, and hopefully it'll be a lovely evening like it was last week, and we can have a marvelous time together. So just remember that, and always, if you want to visit, let me know, and I'll be happy to come and visit you at your home. One birthday this week, Colin Bailey has his birthday on the 27th of August, so Colin, a very happy birthday to you. The only note of prayer and praise that I'm aware of is from Leanne. Leanne, of course, had another visit with her ear, nose, and throat specialist, and she's now started a regimen of antibiotics because they now believe that the hoarseness in her throat is due to the fact that she's had an infection. So we're hoping this will bring a swift recovery for Leanne. She's been waiting a long time to get an answer. And so I just want to pray for all of us today, and then I'm here with Don and Donna, and they're going to be playing for us, and looking forward to that. So, Father, thank you for this opportunity to be together. I pray for all our family, wherever they are this day, that you bless them this week, and as we start into this new week, that, Lord, your Spirit will direct them in everything they do. And as our young people are getting ready for school and our teachers, no doubt there's a lot of stress, and so we pray that they, too, will have your peace in the days going forward. And so, Lord, we pray for Leanne now. We lift her up to you. We ask, Lord, that your healing presence would be continuing to work in her life and even through these antibiotics. And, Lord, for everyone else in our church family, wherever they are, that you're blessing them now. And so, Father, thank you for all you're doing. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. And so, Donna, allow you to share and look forward to what you have for us.
Passes by. Now I'm sure that as you go through life, there's been many storms that have entered your life in one way or another. And just wondering how your faith stands up when you put it up to the Lord and bring it to Him and help it so that He can help you through this time of difficulty. And we have been going through a lot of storms. abiding love. We've been through the storms. Now we have the abiding love of our Lord. And this is what we'll play for you next.
I could give you a benediction now as we conclude this time. And so bless us and keep us and make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us in all that we do. Thank you for loving us. Amen.